Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how many Jews were there in Poland before the Holocaust, and how many are there now? Our guest this week is Robert Kostro, who's a Polish historian, journalist, columnist, and politician. In the 1980s, Mr. Kostro was active in the anti-communist Polish youth movement, and after the establishment of democracy, he held different government posts, including Director of Foreign Relations in the Prime Minister's office and several positions in the Ministry of Culture. He later taught history at the Lazarski School of Commerce and Law. Since its founding in 2006, he's been the director of the Polish History Museum in Warsaw. Mr. Kostro recently gave a talk titled Jan Karski, Unfinished Mission, as a complement to the exhibit sponsored by the Polish Institute of Culture and Centro Sefarad Israel in Madrid. Jan Karski, Mission for Humanity, consists of a series of 22 panels that explain Karski's struggle to communicate the truth about the Holocaust during World War II. The exhibit has been an international success in such cities as Brussels, Ottawa, Chicago, and New York, and can be seen in Madrid at the Centro Sefarad Israel through June 30th. This week, Mr. Kostro will tell us about the history of the Jews in Poland and Jan Karski's mission, and next week we'll bring you the second part of the interview, in which he'll tell us about the Polish History Museum.
Thank you very much for speaking with us. First, I would like you to tell us a little bit about your own background, your own studies, and how you were involved in politics and that.
Yes. So I studied history at the Warsaw University, and it was a very difficult time. It was the 1980s, a time when General Jaruzelski introduced the martial law. I was studying a little bit after the martial law, but still the communist regime was quite strong. But at the same time, developed many political independent oppositional activities. So I was active in sorts of students or young intelligentsia movement, young Poland movement, which was connected to Solidarity, and that was my way to politics or to public life, then it was for me natural to have interest for public institutions and for interest in history.
You have been a history professor. Can you tell us what your main area of interest was?
Actually, I was teaching a little bit of European history and world history, but I was not a professor for a very long time. So my professional activities concentrated more on journalism and then also on work in public institutions. I was active in the Prime Minister's office with international relations, but also I was active in creating and establishing some cultural institutions like Institute of Adam Mickiewicz, which is promoting Polish culture abroad. And now, since 8 years, I'm active in first in developing and now in constructing a museum, the Museum of the History of Poland.
Could you tell us first, before we talk about the museum, could you tell us a little bit about the history of the Jews in Poland?
Yes. I mean, history of Jews in Poland is very much connected with the history of Poland. Actually, the first written testimony about the history of Poland is a testimony which comes from a Jewish merchant from Spain, Ibrahim Ibn Yaqub. He came here in the Central Europe and left us a short description of the at that time Duchy, which was the beginning of the Polish state. Then in the medieval time, there was a flow of Jewish immigrants, especially from Germany, because of persecution, because of some pogroms in Western Europe. Jews settled down in Poland, especially in 14th century, and for a couple of centuries it was perhaps the biggest Jewish community in the world, and one of the most freely developing and until 18th century, it was really flourishing place for Jewish culture, also from the point of view of religious studies. For instance, in Vilnius, there was the rabbis from Lithuania in Vilnius, because Lithuania and Poland was a commonwealth, belonged to the most respected in the Jewish world.
Why was Poland so welcoming to the Jews? Because I know that most countries that had a strong Catholic presence, a strong church presence,
Yes. That's
where there was the most anti-Semitism. Why was Poland so welcoming?
There were two reasons. First, that Poland was, in a way, multicultural from medieval times, because it was the border between Catholic Church, between Latin Church and Orthodox Church. And secondly, because Poland was sort of vast area with relatively little population, and Polish kings and also Polish nobility, they needed, let's say, people who could be a merchant, who could work. And there was no middle class, no Polish middle class. So Jews and also German settlers became middle class in medieval Poland. And so in order to attract Jews, in order to attract people from the West, from South, they had to guarantee certain rights. So for many centuries, Jews had many rights. And also it was a country open to other denominations, because also Protestants came from the West, from Holland, and especially in 16th century, Poland was multi-religious state, with Protestants, with Orthodox, with also Greek Catholics, and even Muslims. So only nowadays, after the World War II, we are so homogeneous society, which is maybe one of the, or maybe the most homogeneous in Europe.
Can you tell us what Poland was like right before World War II?
Before World War II, actually, we were after partition, because in 19th century is the century of partition of Poland between Russia, Prussia, then Germany and Austria. And in 1918, the Polish state is recovered. So we have new independent state. And at that time, it was the time of, let's say, growing nationalism in Europe. So it was also, it concerns also Polish nationalism. And at that time, especially right-wing parties were not very friendly towards any minorities. So they wanted to establish purely Polish state. So the growth of anti-Semitism was connected with a new model of society, a society which was... in a way, it was connected with democracy, because the political parties wanted to take support of the population and used sometimes low level of education, etc., in order to get votes. So 1920s and 1930s are not good times for especially the Polish-Jewish relations. And we didn't have such laws like in Germany, etc., but the pressure for Jews to emigrate from Poland was quite high, and so many people were leaving Poland because of rising anti-Semitism.
But I think that at the time of the Holocaust, Poland had the highest Jewish population in Europe.
Yes, around 3 million people, 3 million Jewish people lived in Poland, which was about one tenth of the total population of Poland, which is probably the highest in Europe and one of the most active places of Jewish life in Europe, because it was cinema, movies and books, etc. So the whole literature, even after the war, if we look at Isaac Bashevis Singer and many other Jewish literature, it is based on the culture of Polish Jews, of Ashkenazi Jews from Poland.
Now there seems to be a renewed interest in Jewish culture in Poland. Can you tell us a little bit about that? First, how many Jews are there now? And can you tell us something about the manifestations of this new interest?
I think that especially because after the war, almost the whole population of the Polish Jews could not exist because most of them perished in the Holocaust. And also there were some anti-Semitic policies, especially in 1968, during some crisis within the Communist Party. And then in 1980s, especially with the Solidarity Movement, the interest for Poland, also for multicultural tradition of Poland, was rising. And there was a second birth of interest for Jewish culture in Poland, which exists not only in Jewish circles, but also among Catholic intelligentsia and different groups of intelligentsia. And within this wave, also many people with Jewish roots rediscovered their own roots. So today the Jewish life is not very much developed. I think that not more than maybe 50,000 Jewish people lives in Poland today. But apart from the recovering Jewish life, there are a lot of institutions and a lot of interest in Jewish culture, because we have, for instance, big festivals of Jewish culture in Krakow, in Warsaw, and every year not only Jewish people, but many or most of the audience are Polish ethnic people who come and participate in all those events and have interest. Also, many schools are interested. For instance, school children take care of some monuments of Jewish culture. And it's sometimes fascinating. Of course, it doesn't mean that there are no anti-Semitism in Poland, as unfortunately there is always a part of population which have some prejudices. But I don't think that the level is bigger than in any other European countries.
You came to Spain to present an exhibit and a lecture about Jan Karski. Can you tell us about him?
Jan Karski was a fascinating person because he was a member of the Polish underground during the Second World War. He was actually an emissary, a person who was in charge of taking contact, communication between Polish underground in Warsaw and London-based government in exile. And actually he had three big missions. First one in 1940, which was successful. Second one in 1941, which finished in Slovakia, where he was captured by Gestapo and was in a very cruel investigation. He tried to commit suicide because of pain that he suffered. And finally, the best-known trip of Jan Karski was in 1942. So after the Holocaust already started, he spoke not only to Polish leaders of Polish ethnic parties, but also spoke to leaders of Jewish parties, to leaders of Bund and Paul Sion. And he delivered the message. He also entered the ghetto in Warsaw and also the transitional camp in Izbica. And then, as an eyewitness of the Holocaust, he spoke to both to members of the Polish government in exile and as well as to leaders of the West, to Anthony Eden, to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, to Felix Frankfurter, judge of the Supreme Court of the United States, and many other people.
And what happened?
Oh, this is the main point of the story, that his message, his witness, was to some extent neglected. So, of course, everybody was interested in talking to him, because he was convincing, he was interesting young man with very interesting story to tell. But finally, nobody could believe or nobody wanted to make something. So there was an interesting meeting with Felix Frankfurter. Felix Frankfurter said, "No, I can't believe in that." And because Karski came with Jan Cichanowski, the ambassador of the Republic of Poland, to him, Cichanowski said, "Felix, how can you tell something like that? You say that the man who was checked by Americans doesn't tell you truth." "No, I don't tell that he's lying. I say only that I cannot believe him." So this is the problem, that people, even if they were convinced that Karski is telling truth, for many psychological reasons, political reasons, they could not accept this truth. So it was difficult, because we are taught in schools, we watched films, we know almost everything about Holocaust, but people who lived in 1940s, it was the first time, it was too difficult to imagine, to believe that such cruel things can happen. And even if they could believe, they felt, I don't know if they were helpless, but they felt helpless in facing this enormous difficult problem.
For more information about the exhibit Jan Karski, Mission for Humanity, which can be seen at the Centro Sefarad Israel in Madrid through June 30th, go to the link on this page. That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.